I want to speak briefly this morning about identity. I believe there's three big questions in life. Who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? I think the community around us, people are searching for who they are. You see, what sin does, it breaks us off from God and we become lost, not just lost in a spiritual sense, but also in an identity sense of who am I? And the evolutionary theory, and wherever you stand on that, but what, without God in the equation, what evolution says is, who am I? You're an accident. Why am I here? For no reason. And where am I going? Nowhere. I believe that the Bible says something very different about humanity and our identity, and it brings great answers to us. So this morning I want to share about bringing some answers to that. Is that all right? Well, there was three people over here. What about over there? You all good? Okay. Who am I? I find what's really interesting is that when Jesus first started his ministry, it says in Luke 4 that he was driven by the Holy Spirit, not in a car, but he was driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. And there he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And then it says, and then the devil came to him. And what I find is really interesting in Luke 4:3-4, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He was quoting Deuteronomy 8:3. But this is the interesting thing. The first encounter that we read of as Satan comes to Jesus, what does Satan challenge him on? If you are the Son of God, he challenges his identity. And Jesus retorted and said, I'm not going to perform for you to prove that I'm the Son of God. I'm not going to subject myself to being a performer just so that you'll be satisfied that I'm the Son of God. But it's by the Word of God that I find my identity. You see, for humanity, the answers to who we are in the Word. I believe, I'm not ashamed of this, but I believe this, for those at the back, I am still standing up. I believe that this is the Word of God. I believe it's not stories. It's the actual Word of God. And inside of this Word, as I look into it, it becomes a mirror to who I am and a mirror to who God is. So I want to really encourage the church. Read the Bible, however you want to do that. If you're not a good reader, listen to it. We've got CDs, USBs, BBCs. We've got all sorts of things that you can hear the Word of God or watch the Word of God. And because this is a mirror to who I am and who you are. And Jesus himself was saying, man shall not live by bread alone. In other words, my identity is found in the Word. Jesus himself discovered his own identity as he, as a baby born in a manger, went through the school education as it was in those days, which was based on the Torah, the Old Testament, the first five books of the Bible. Every 12-year-old boy had to memorize. By the time you were 12, in Hebrew society, you were expected to memorize the Torah. Memorize. I have trouble with my children's names. Never mind memorize five books of the Bible. But that was part of their journey in education. And inside that Word, Jesus saw himself and expressed himself to Satan that I'm not going to show my identity to you by performing. It's through the word of God that my identity comes. In fact, he left that wilderness and went back to Galilee and to Nazareth. And there it says that he went into the synagogue as it was his custom. And he quoted Isaiah 61. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your listening. In other words, he was declaring to his hometown that he was Messiah. And that's why it goes on to say that they were so angry that they wanted to throw him off a cliff. Jesus, the Son of God, declared, "This is my identity." So this morning, I want to bring three points, because that's what pastors do. Isn't that right, David? We do 3 points. If you do any more than 3, then watch out. I want to bring 3 points in regard to identity. Is that all right? Now, the first point in your identity and in my identity and what the Word of God says to me is that I belong. How do I know that I belong? Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I belong to God. You belong to God. Now let me go even further. People that don't know Christ, people in your community, still belong to God. They just don't know it. And part of the mission of the local church, you see, you are a local church. You have been deliberately put here by God so that you can be a servant to your community. You can connect to your community. And we are here to connect to the community, to let them know that they belong to God. We're not here to judge people. That's not our job. We are not the morality police force. That is not our call. Our call is to let people know that they are loved and that they belong to God. I think that's a good message. Too often we get sidetracked by looking at people's behavior and saying, "Oh, that's all wrong." Yeah, but it's only by the grace of God go I. Judgment day is going to come when Christ returns. And Jesus is coming back. Yeah, that's right. And then we'll all get a new hairdo. Boing. So you and I, we're not called to judge. We're called to love. We're called to let people know that they have a purpose in life, that we have it. You see, your purpose in life is to advance the kingdom of God now that you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian and you're still on the journey of discovery, that's all right. That's cool. Go on the journey. But if you've made that decision, I want to reinforce what I'm sure is preached here, and that is you are here for a purpose. You're not just here to come to church on a Sunday, although that's good. But there's a bigger picture. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek first." And the context of that scripture, seek first the advancement of God's kingdom and all things in life will be added. Don't worry about things in life. Just seek the kingdom and all that other stuff will be added to you. That's our business. And how we advance the kingdom of God is letting people know that they belong to God. That's such a wonderful message, that you're valuable, that you belong to God. Now, I want to say to you firstly, as people part of this church, that you are valuable, that you belong to God. It's part of your identity. You are created in the image of God, and God is spirit, and you are spirit. It says in John 4, when Jesus went and visited Samaria, and the woman at the well came to him, and she said, should we worship God here at Mount Gennesaret, or should we go to Jerusalem, Mount Moriah, and worship God there? And Jesus said, neither. God is spirit, and we should worship him in spirit and in truth. You see, my life force is inside of this body, this magnificent specimen of a body that you can see. That wasn't meant to be funny. But inside is the life that's from heaven. It comes from heaven. You see, when I became a Christian, somebody witnessed to me and I made a decision and I said, oh, all right, I'm going to follow Christ. Forgive me for my sins and I'm going to follow you, Lord. What happened is the Holy Spirit then connected with my spirit and reconnected me back to God the Father. And I'm now in relationship with God. I took that step of faith and it changed my world. And I became alive to God. That's why it's such a miracle. It's the miraculous of the Christian faith. It's the change that's brought inside of our lives as we give our life to Christ. So I belong. However, look, it's only 2:00. I do belong to God, but I do understand in my identity that I am broken. Why? Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody's broken. Humanity is broken. I understand my brokenness, and I don't live in that brokenness, but I understand that I'm a broken man, and it's only by the grace of God that I go. But it's the same for you as well. You are broken people, and we've been restored back to God through the... That's why Jesus came. That's why there's a cross, because he was put on the cross, and the blood was poured out because justice demands payment for breaking the law of God. You see, God gave 10 commandments, not for us to live by the 10 commandments, but to reveal sin. I think that God could have just done one commandment and got us all. He could have just said, you shall not bear false witness. If you've ever told a lie, put your hands up. If you didn't put your hand up, you're a liar. You see, we're all broken. And Christ came and he poured out his blood. You see, when you break the law, there has to be payment. I got caught speeding. I know you find that hard to believe. 60 kilometers an hour in a 50 zone at Balaclava. How do you feel? $463. Now, my father, who's passed away now, passed away last year, went to be with the Lord, but he used to be a magistrate. And I know that if I'd have gone to his courtroom and he'd have come and sat up on the bench and I'd have been thinking to myself, you little ripper, it's my dad. He's the judge. And I'm in here for breaking the law of going 10 kilometers too fast. And I could have said, Dad, it's me. The good looks all from you. And Dad would have looked at me and he would have said, David, you are my son and I do love you. However, justice demands payment for breaking the law. That'll cost you $463. I can't get over the $463. I have paid it, but it was painful. And it's the same. You see, God loves humanity, but justice demands payment for the brokenness. First of all, as a human being, we've got to acknowledge that we are broken and that we need help. And that's why Jesus came and he poured out his blood and the currency of heaven is blood. That's why in the Old Testament there was atonement and it was animals' blood that was poured out to cover the sins for the people of Israel. Now, It's not atonement anymore. It's called remission has taken place because Jesus doesn't cover our sins. He destroys our sins because his blood is more powerful than the blood of goats and animals. Amen. So I do belong to God and I am broken. But I am a child of God. Amen. And if the Son sets you free, you're truly free indeed. Sets me free from what? Sets me free from guilt and owing a debt that I cannot pay. That's why we sing all these songs about how he's paid the price and set us free. That's the goodness of God. I belong, I am broken in my identity, but also I'm becoming. God has equipped you and I to fulfill the calling that he's put on your life. Often Christians look at themselves and say, oh, well, I can't do much and I'm not much good. And I just want to change that thinking and say, no, God has equipped you with everything you need to fulfill the call. And it doesn't matter what age you are or what your health situation is. If you're breathing, everybody take a deep breath here. Make sure you're breathing. If you are breathing, you are still a viable person to be used by God to advance his kingdom. Once you stop breathing, then it's all over on this planet. You'll be surprised how easy it is to die. Once you die, you see, this is not immortal. This is temporary. You got to look after it. It doesn't matter how spiritual you are. If you don't look after it, then it'll fall to the ground and you'll go. And your spirit and your soul will leave your body. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So my identity is this. I am a spirit. I'm created in the image of God. The life force that keeps this body going is the spirit. It's invisible. It's internal. And I have a soul. The soul and the spirit are different. It tells us in Hebrews 4:12. Now the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder the joints and the marrow, the soul and the spirit. Joints and marrow are very close, but they're different. Soul and spirit are very close, but they're different. My spirit, which is connected to God, the Holy Spirit connects to my spirit and speaks to my spirit. That's why sometimes listening to God seems like it's down a dark well somewhere and there's that still small voice. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I got some nods there. Well, that's a spiritual thing. And you see, this book is spiritual. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are life and they are spirit. It's a spirit book. That's why if you come from just a human intellectual position, you can't get it. It's spiritual. It feeds the spirit. So my spirit is my life force. My soul is self-expression. What you see of me now as I express myself, as I'm talking to you, that's my soul at work. So my spirit is self-giving. My soul is self-expression. And my body is self-serving. My biggest problem is not the devil. He doesn't help. But my biggest problem is me. Your biggest problem is you. Because that talks about walking in the flesh. And the flesh is self-serving. The spirit is self-giving. The soul is self-expression. When we die, this falls to the ground and the spirit and the soul go to be with the Lord. But then there's a resurrection day that comes where you get a new body. I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to have a full head of hair. And I'm going to be 6'2". But this is not fanciful fantasy. This is what the Word of God says. Corinthians 14. Is it 1 Corinthians 14? No, 2 Corinthians 14. Talks about the resurrected man. I had a group of young people once say to me, "Oh, how old are you going to be when you're in heaven?" I thought, that's an interesting question. I better find some scripture on it. And I found some. I believe I know how old you're going to be when you get to heaven. Okay, moving on. Would you like to know? Well, it says this in the Word. It says, as he is, so we shall be. And it's in that 2 Corinthians 14. Is it 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians? Anyway, I'll look it up. He's talking about the earthly man, Adam, and the heavenly man, Jesus. And it speaks of Jesus and saying that as he is, so we shall be. So I thought to myself, how old was Jesus when he died? I said, that'll do me. And when I said that to all the young people, they said, oh, that is so old. And I said, no, believe me, 33 is not old. 33 is good. Can anybody say amen to 33? I see all those hands fly up. I think that's a good theory. I'm not putting it down as solid doctrine, but I think it's a good theory. So let me finish by saying this. In becoming, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord. So God's equipped me to live and fulfill the calling that he's put on my life. Jesus had the spirit without measure. You and I have all got a part to play. We need each other. No part-time Christianity. This is full-time. God never goes on holiday from us. Are you glad about that? He's full-time. He's on time and full-time. What God has given us is himself, the Spirit of God, internally connected. But also inside of human beings is faith, hope, and love. In every human being, whether you're a believer or not, you've got faith, hope, and love. The difference between a believer and a person who's not believing as yet, but on the journey, is that the believer has been given the God kind of faith, hope, and love. Mark 11:22, Jesus speaking to the disciples said, have faith in God. In other words, he was prophesying for them to have the God kind of faith, because the God kind of faith can move mountains. Some people say, oh, how much faith do I have? Well, Jesus said a mustard seed would move a mountain. So if you've got a bucket full, you're going to do a lot of damage. You've got enough faith. Don't ask God for more faith. You've got all the faith you're going to get. You've got all the hope. Christ in me, the hope of glory. You've got all the hope you've got. And Romans 5:5, the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. I've got all the love that I need. The business for us to learn is how to get it out, because it's internal. It's invisible. We're talking to people about an invisibility. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. So we're presenting an invisible God to our community. But our business is that we don't change them. God changes them. We've just got to let them know that they belong. But all that you and I need to fulfill what God's called us to, you've got it. You've got it. It's inside. That's why reading the Word, or having the Word of God as a strong part of your life, is important because faith comes. You can start believing. It gets back to that belief system again. Believing God to change situations and circumstances. Believing God to draw people. Believing God that the poor can be helped through me. You can make a difference in people's lives. I want to encourage you. And with children in poverty, some people have said to me, oh, I'll pray whether God wants me to or not. No, you don't need to pray. God does want you to. What you've got to assess, what I've got to assess, is can I afford it? And if I can't afford it, I can't do it. But God's word already says, help the poor. Whether you do that through Baptist World Aid or through Compassion, we are compelled to help the poor. Come on. You're looking at me a bit serious there. But it's true. And people say, oh, I want to follow Christ and I just want to be close to God. Well, part of it is help the poor. Bring your tithes and your offerings into the house, this house that's your house, but also give to the poor a corner for the poor. Now, I'm going to show you a video now that's about the life of a young lady who was a Compassion child and has been set free. Thank you so much for listening. I want to encourage you again. You have got a great identity in God and you've got a great purpose and you are incredibly valuable. So God bless you.